This is the Value Investor Podcast with Tracy Reinick. All things value, all the time.
Welcome back, value investors. So I was doing a podcast this week on The Market Edge, on the other podcast with Nina Mishra, who is our director of ETF research here at Zacks. And we were taking a look at the S&P 500 index ETFs. And I do recommend that podcast if you are kind of out there thinking, which of these S&P 500 indexes should I buy? What's the difference between them all? We covered all of those questions on that podcast. So go check it out on YouTube at Zacks.com/YouTube. But as we were doing the show, we were looking at the holdings that are now in the S&P 500. This is not the equal weighted one. This is the market cap versions. And so obviously the biggest stocks, the $1 trillion stocks, those are the ones that are heavily weighted up at the top. And that's where we've gotten the Magnificent Seven from. So we ditched FANG and we ditched FANG Men. FANG Men and FANG have been ditched. And we got the Mag 7 because these were the top seven heavily weighted stocks in the S&P 500. And so that's included Microsoft, Apple, NVIDIA, Amazon, Meta, and then Tesla was added in there. But what was I surprised to see when we were doing this podcast, when we took a look at the holdings now in April 2024, was that Tesla is no longer in the top 10. The stock has fallen enough, down at one point nearly 50%, I think, year to date here in 2024. And so it's fallen out of the top 10. So right now on the S&P 500, Microsoft continues to be the largest holding at 7.09% of the S&P 500. Then you have Apple at 5.64%. NVIDIA's number three. That's kind of amazing, at 5.06. Then you have Amazon at 3.74%, Meta's at 2.4, and then Google is split up into two, so it would really be higher than Meta and maybe right around the Amazon level because Google, has those two tickers. So it's GOOGL is 2.02% and GOOG is 1.7%. And so I'm putting those are the sixth and the eighth largest positions. Then number nine is Eli Lilly. They're at 1.4%. And then you have Broadcom at 1.3%. But what is number seven now that's in there? It's no longer Tesla. I was surprised. But I really shouldn't have been, but I was surprised to see that it is us value investors' favorite stock, or at least for many of you, I know you own it, and it is Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, now at number seven at 1.7%. So it's kind of matching with the second Google ticker in there at seven. This is an interesting development, really. And I was kind of curious, thinking about it after we were done recording this as to maybe Berkshire Hathaway should really take its rightful place in the Magnificent Seven now. If we're going to let Tesla go in there, why wouldn't we let Berkshire also go in there as one of these companies with great free cash flow, tons of cash on hand, fairly attractive valuations, but not all of these are, that attractive. Tesla's trading at 58 times. And actually, its free cash flow and some of its other, fundamentals aren't even that great compared to Berkshire Hathaway. So I wanted to do this podcast on why Berkshire Hathaway should be given a chance to be in the Magnificent Seven, even though it is what most people would call the old economy, but it says a lot about what is going on in its underlying businesses that Wall Street is bidding up these shares enough to get it into the seventh position now in the S&P 500 market cap index, weightings. So I was just kind of looking around at how does it compare just on a valuation basis with some of these other peers that would be in the Mag 7. So I decided to compare it to Alphabet because it's one of the cheapest of the Mag 7s now, unless we include Berkshire Hathaway. So Berkshire Hathaway, and these are the B shares. We're not really considering the A shares. So this is only the B shares, and this is the B shares that qualify it for number 7 on the list. And it currently has a PE of 22.1. Alphabet, this is the GOOGL, has a PE of 23.3. So it's a little bit cheaper than Alphabet is here, but this 22.1 is actually a little pricey for Berkshire Hathaway and where it's been historically. But compared to the other Mag 7s, this would place it among the cheapest of the Mag 7s. PEG ratio for Berkshire is a little elevated at 3.16. And Google now, is this right? Google has a PEG ratio, I have it written down here, of 1.46. That's really cheap for a company like Google. Usually you see if the PE is a little bit, cheap, the PEG really kind of isn't, or actually we can see vice versa. We see the low PEG, but not the low PE. So I'm just taking a look here at Google/Alphabet's growth, and it is expected to grow earnings 16.9% this year and 14.5% next year. So we have some nice double-digit earnings growth still going on. Also double-digit sales growth, 13.4% this year, 11.1% expected for next year. So that's all pretty impressive numbers still coming out of Google. We haven't gotten the earnings in yet. When you're listening to this, it probably has already come out. So be sure to tune in for that. But just taking a look at Berkshire Hathaway, it's still, for this year, 2024, expected to have single-digit earnings growth, 7.7%, but 2025, 19.1%. Not sure why they're so bullish for next year. We only have one estimate on it, though, for next year. But whoever that analyst is pretty bullish, he or she, on that next year. Sales expected to be down 1.3% 2024, and then growing 8.4% for next year. So there's still a little bit of a drag on this company that has a lot of old economy companies that it owns. So I do want to focus a little bit more on this podcast with the actual companies it owns and not so much the equity portfolio. We tend to talk a lot about the equity portfolio because every quarter we see what Buffett buys and sells in stocks for that portfolio. And we don't stop to think about all the companies that Berkshire actually owns outright in its own ownership side of things, which is quite extensive. So when I talk about old economy, I'm not really kidding. It owns things like the railroad, BNSF, that's one of its crown jewels. It owns Dairy Queen. Is that old economy? It's been around a long time. I want to say it is. It is old economy. And if anyone's listening at Dairy Queen, please bring back the butterscotch sundae. It's been years, I know, since you got rid of it, but I don't care how many times, one of the people taking my order or they're up at the front tells me that caramel is the same as butterscotch. It's not. So please bring back butterscotch. But other than that, we all love the Dairy Queen, right? But that's basically old economy. It's been around a long time. Same with See's Candies. I would put that in old economy. It owns Duracell, which is batteries. That's pretty much old economy. There's a couple furniture companies, jewelry. I guess those are all old. It also owns Benjamin Moore, the paint company. That's really old. That's definitely on the old economy side, but you can't go wrong with paints. And then I looked up one of them, Shaw Industries. I did not know what that one was, and it's a global flooring company. So a lot of things for the home. They also own Clayton Homes, which is prefab housing. They own some of those auto retailers, dealerships, the automotive dealerships. that's kind of old school as well. So most people, when they think of Berkshire Hathaway, definitely think of the old economy, but their numbers are showing, you know, that they are competitive with these new economy techie kind of names that are in the Mag 7. And I'm a believer that some of these old economy stocks are going to make the turnaround here. They are fairly cheap and are more attractive. And, you know, there's a reason they've been around 100 years, right? Sometimes those old industries do fade away. They do not stay in prominence because of technological changes and, you know, advances that are made, and some things just do go out of favor. We no longer need them, but others, you know, stick around for a long time because they have a strong brand and they have a brand that has won. And some of this stuff like paint, I'm not seeing that we're replacing it anytime soon with something else. So far, we haven't. So I like these types of companies. So returning to the valuations now with Berkshire Hathaway, these are the B shares and Alphabet. So those pegs are correct. Berkshire actually has the higher peg because that growth is not that great this year and it's trading at 22 times. So you're paying a little bit more for Berkshire's growth than you are for Alphabet's. Price to book ratios, Berkshire is at 1.56, Alphabet's at 6.9. So a lot better value for Berkshire. It's not, it is in my area of value dumb, which is when I look for a price to book of 3 and under. So it is cheap on a price to book basis. Price to sales, you would expect Berkshire to be pretty cheap there, and it is, but it's not a value at 2.4. But Alphabet, not that expensive on price to sales if you're thinking of a tech company with growth, because its price to sales ratio is just 6.4. And we know a lot of them are in the double digits on the price to sales now. This is why people have the fears of the Mag 7 of, you know, it's just overvalued some of these stocks and they've gotten just too expensive. But I'm going to take a look and see what Alphabet's price to, no, I was going to look at, let's look at Microsoft, because I know that they are a little more expensive here than some of the others. So Microsoft's price to sales, 13.3. That's a much, much higher. Anything over 10, much higher. Meta, let's see what they're looking like. Price to sales, 9.4. So that's higher than Alphabet and certainly higher than Berkshire. Nvidia, there's a lot going on with the sales side there, but they're at 33 times. So you can see that one, nobody's considering it to be cheap. Price to book is now 47.9 times on Nvidia. So if they can be in there, why can't Berkshire? And then looking at Apple, which is in the Berkshire equity portfolio, and Buffett considers it to be one of the like four horsemen of Berkshire Hathaway now. It's about 50% of the equity portfolio and it's a huge position. Price to sales ratio there, 6.68. Price to book is at 34.7 times. Wow, looking at all this, the peg is only at 2. PE is at 25.5. But looking at all that, making me think that Alphabet is looking pretty cheap, even compared to its other Magnificent Seven peers. But that is why I chose it to do a direct comparison with Berkshire, because I knew Alphabet was in the cheaper realm. And so if we're going to add Berkshire to the Mag 7, then, you know, we need to compare it with someone else who's also fairly cheap. So that would be Alphabet. And in terms of some of its other behavior, Berkshire is sitting on $168 billion in cash. They haven't reported first quarter yet. So that was as of the end of December 2023. It also repurchased 9.2 billion shares in 2023, does not pay a dividend. Alphabet does not pay a dividend either, but Alphabet has a huge, massive, I think it's $70 billion share repurchase plan. I don't think it necessarily did all of that last year. I'd have to go and check, and we're waiting on their earnings for first quarter so that I can kind of see what's going on with their share repurchases as well. but they had a massive plan going there because they're sitting on a ton of cash as well. So Berkshire fits in there. If you removed the tickers and were just kind of looking at PEs, PEGs, price to book, price to sales, even price to cash flow, and then you were told how much cash they have, how much stock they repurchased, you would not guess Berkshire B. You would probably guess, oh, is this Alphabet or is this Apple or even Meta, maybe Microsoft. I think Meta doesn't have over 100 billion, does it? It doesn't have quite as much cash at Meta. So maybe you would guess it was Microsoft with these numbers. How about performance? Let's take a look at that. So over the last year, Berkshire B shares are up 25.3%. And it did touch new all-time highs earlier this year in 2024. And then it's weakened a bit and pulled back a little bit, but still kind of hanging out up there. Alphabet is at new highs and 1 year up 50.1% for Alphabet. Some of the others, not quite as bullish. Apple in particular, not quite as bullish. We know what NVIDIA is doing. That one has been off to the races. So even more bullish there. But again, if you weren't really paying attention to who was who, you might not be able to guess who is Berkshire in these numbers. So what is going on with some of the underlying companies and the old economy? It's so hard to get a handle on Berkshire because it's sitting on all this cash. It has this huge equity portfolio, which he keeps buying and selling things for, but certainly buying. He's getting dividend payouts from those companies in the equity portfolio. Some of the companies in the main portfolio that he owns outright are also generating quite a bit of free cash flow. So that's helpful too, but we don't really know specifics unless he deems it necessary to tell us. So what is a company like Benjamin Moore doing behind the scenes? Well, the only way we can kind of tell is by looking at the paint companies that are public, and there's a couple of them. So Sherwin-Williams is the big one, ticker SHW. It is a favorite of mine, and I currently own it in the insider trader portfolio. We've owned it a number of months, but we are selling out of it. Why are we selling out of it? Because some of their business has slowed. And they said in their first quarter that sales at the consumer brand segment, so they also have the professional side, but the consumer brand, which is like do it yourself, you know, it's you or I going to the paint store, the Sherwin-Williams store, buying the paint because we want to repaint our dining room or our living room or that bathroom that really needs it. And those fell 7% in the first quarter, those sales. And that's because home sales are down, even though prices remain elevated in many cities. There's just less inventory out there that's leading to less sales. And so you have a lot fewer people moving into the new house where they need to repaint everything. So that's really impacting, as well as maybe we're just a little painted out here. We painted out a lot during the pandemic and people have repainted the dining room maybe just a year or two ago, maybe 3 years ago, and they're not seeing the need to do it again right now. And so they're cutting back in those areas. So Sherwin-Williams has revised guidance, I believe, lower now. So those shares have sold off a bit here. They're not that cheap, trading at 26 times, which is higher than Berkshire Hathaway, with a PEG of 2.4. Dividend is yielding around 1%, however. I don't consider this to be like a turnaround story per se, but I felt like Sherwin-Williams shares have just gotten a little too pricey for my blood here. We've been taking some profit off the table over the last couple of months, slowly in the insider trader. And now we're going to exit this position because it may take a couple of quarters for the consumers to turn around. We need housing sales to rebound considerably, and they will. Once we get some rate cuts, you're going to get more people out there buying, and you know, the builders are trying to build as fast as they can as well on that front. So I'm kind of going to the sidelines, I guess, on Sherwin-Williams. Another one that is publicly traded is Behr Paint. We see them all the time. I think they're at Home Depot. They're owned by Masco Corporation, and their ticker is MAS. M as in Mary, A as in Adam, S as in Sam. And Masco also does plumbing. I think they still do cabinets, and those would be like for kitchens and whatnot. But they definitely have Behr Paint. And for them, they did report first quarter as well, and they had volumes falling. It was down 4% in the first quarter, and they don't see any restoration of volumes happening yet. And that's just not as many people are buying the paint. They're just not. And they do expect Behr Paint to be down slightly in the first half of this year. So the weakness to continue in the second quarter. Now, Masco's cheaper than Sherwin-Williams here. It's actually Zach's number two rank, which is the buy. And its PE is of 17.8. PEG is at 2.3. And it does pay a dividend yielding 1.6%. But once you think more homes are going to be sold out there, and that part of the housing industry is going to pick up, which it will eventually, the demand is definitely there, then a company like Masco or even Sherwin-Williams, any of these bank companies, will see much better numbers. Another thing I took a look at, as I mentioned about Shaw Industries, that they're a global flooring company, I thought I'd be like, you know, oh, I know a flooring company that's like Armstrong Floors. But then I looked up Armstrong World Industries, ticker AWI, and they are ceiling and wall system solutions. So maybe there's another Armstrong, or they spun it off, or I don't know what happened, because I thought it used to be the flooring guys were Armstrong World Industries, but maybe not. Could be a different Armstrong. Or they got bought out and changed their name. I'm not sure. But this one was intriguing too. And this seems like it would be a Berkshire company, kind of old school, but the ceiling and wall system solutions are for like healthcare facilities, classrooms, lobbies, like an airport lobby kind of area. You know, with the soaring ceilings, they have to have things that absorb sound, and the lighting has to be done correct. And so a lot of it's for sound dampening and beautification of these spaces, but they also do residential as well. And they're also a number two. They haven't reported yet. PE is at 20.3, a PEG of 1.8, and they too pay a dividend of about 1%. So those are just a couple of other kind of related old economy stocks I thought I'd take a quick look at to see how cheap these were so that we can get some ideas about what's going on in Berkshire's, you know, main portfolio, because unless they tell us, and sometimes they do, we really don't have a good grasp about what's going on. So for Dairy Queen, what's happening with their sales of their sundaes? Are people boycotting because there's no butterscotch? I don't think so, because they got rid of it a number of years ago and never brought it back. You know, are they seeing same store sales growth? What are the popular items there? Are they gaining traction on any kind of social media platforms? But it's hard to get more granular on Berkshire Hathaway's underlying companies, because they do keep it somewhat secretive from us there. I'm sure Buffett himself knows all the answers to these questions, but we do not. We can get some ideas, though, like with BNSF Railroad, you can take a look at Union Pacific, ticker UNP, or CSX, ticker CSX, because what's happening with, you know, the freight industry and coal and autos, consumer goods is going to be somewhat similar across the board. But only somewhat, because they are on different routes and have different pluses and minuses. Here in the Midwest, we are pretty familiar with BNSF because it does go through Chicago here, and they own prominent track lines here in Chicago. So we always see the BNSF trains, and the Metro line is operated through BNSF on their tracks here. And it says BNSF on the side of the commuter trains here. So So what is my outtake here on Berkshire being in the Mag 7? I think they qualify. I think now that Tesla's been kicked out, that we should consider putting Berkshire Hathaway in the Magnificent 7. It has the similar valuations. It has similar share buybacks, cash holdings. It is in the top 10 and in the seventh position of largest in the S&P 500. And one other thing that it does share in common with a lot of these other companies that are up at the top here are the iconic or visionary CEO. All the others do not have a CEO in his 90s, but Elon Musk, if we swap him out with Warren Buffett as the CEO, that's not such a bad thing, I don't think. But some of the others, you know, obviously have big names or have recently had some bigger names, you know, taking over with Amazon, with Jassy taking over the helm there. We still have Zuckerberg at Meta Platforms, however. And then we have Jensen Huang, of course, at NVIDIA. So it seems to fit the profile. And I'm putting out a campaign now to get Berkshire Hathaway in the Magnificent 7. And there is an ETF that just tracks the Mag 7. So they would have to swap out Tesla with Berkshire Hathaway in there. But to me, that might be a better choice here. So let me recap the tickers I talked about on this week's episode of The Value Investors. Unusual to be talking about Mag 7, right? When we're talking about value stocks, but Berkshire Hathaway is looking intriguing here. So Berkshire Hathaway, that ticker is BRK. It's either .B or /B on most of the like stock trading sites, because there are also the A shares. So they differentiate it with a period or a dash, depending on the site. Then we had Alphabet we compared it to, which is GOOGL, my own Alphabet, my own personal portfolio. I also own Microsoft and Amazon out of these. Then we talked about Sherwin-Williams, the paint company, ticker SHW. I don't own it, but Insider Trader does for right now, but we're probably selling it shortly. Masco is also another fairly cheap stock with that P of 17.8, and they own Bayer and other products that go into homes. Ticker M as in Mary, A as in Adam, S as in Sam. And then Armstrong World Industries is A as in Adam, W as in Wayne, I as in IHOP. AWI is the ticker there, and they are the ceiling and wall system solutions type company. There's always some intriguing companies, you know, if you bother to scroll deeper, take a look at what is going on there, like we just did even with Berkshire Hathaway. Know what you own if you own Berkshire Hathaway. It's not just the equity portfolio. It's not just Apple, you know, Chevron and Occidental and Bank of America. It is Duracell. It is Benjamin Moore. It is BNSF, Dairy Queen, See's Candies, Shaw Industries, the global flooring company. It's all of these. So do your homework, as always, but someone should consider adding Berkshire Hathaway to the Mag 7. I am standing by my views on this for now. And as always, you want to be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of the Value Investor Podcast. Who knows what we'll be talking about next? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Berkshire should buy Alphabet into the equity portfolio over there. Maybe my wish will come true there as well. And then Berkshire itself will own a bunch of the Mag 7s within its equity portfolio. Now, that would be a weird kind of system. It's in the Mag 7, and then it owns all of the Mag 7 in there. It currently owns Apple and Amazon. So if it were to add Alphabet, it would at least have three out of the 7, and then itself, of course, which it is buying back shares. So going around in circles now, and we can do that. But you want to subscribe. Get us on Apple Podcasts. Get us on Spotify. Get us on YouTube. The audio podcasts are on YouTube on our own special Zach's Podcast page. Just put in Zach's Podcast. You'll get us. You'll find the ETF podcast there, as well as Value Investor and John Blank's monthly Global Insights podcasts are also there, but be sure to get us somewhere, and I'll see you again next week with some more value stocks.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.